Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, this is Brother Safi inviting you to a new venture of faith publications, which we call the Faith Podcast, where you can listen to a lot of new and very amazing lectures. And inshallah, we ask you to review these products and others on our website at faithpublications.org. Looking forward to see you there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, these days, because of the tremendous pressures on the ummah, many people seem to get down. And the pressures on the ummah, I mean, not just as an ummah as a whole, like all the Muslims together, but here in America, here in our community, here in our families, in our relationships, it seems that a lot of times when we embrace Islam, and when I say embrace Islam, I don't mean just entering the faith, but I mean commitment. When we embrace that commitment to this deen, it seems that we have to do everything different, and things seem to be tough. A lot of people, you hear people saying, it's difficult to practice Islam in this country, in today's age. And so the pressure is on to live a certain way of life. And because of that pressure, many people buckle. And they begin to compromise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They wish, those people who don't like Islam much, they don't want to practice Islam much, they want you to go easy so they can go easy. So the pressure is on. And the depression that sets in. And you hear people saying, look, you know, it's so difficult, you know, How are we ever going to establish Islam? How are we ever going to establish a community? How can I ever live as a Muslim family? It's not practical. It's not realistic. In the midst of all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something in the Quran. And subhanallah, brothers and sisters, by the time you hear this ayah, this verse from the Quran, you cannot get depressed. You cannot be frustrated. You cannot give up. Because this ayah, when you hear this ayah, if you have a sincere heart, it'll put that yaqeen, that certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have, will come in your heart. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, all this stuff is going on, and there is a lot of pressure. It's difficult to raise kids in this country. It's difficult in Islamic schools. It's difficult to build a community. The pressure is on not only from outside, but from within, because people don't have the yaqeen to go forward. People don't have the yaqeen to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because people are always watching their back, it seems. As if, okay, if I do this, am I going to get hurt? If I work in an Islamic environment, maybe I'm going to lose financially. Maybe I'm not going to get all the benefits that all the non-Muslim places promise me. Maybe I'm not going to get that pension. Maybe I'm not going to get that retirement. We're always watching our back. Because why? Because the yaqeen is not there. If I put my child in an Islamic school, maybe I'll put them in when they're in kindergarten through all the way up to elementary school. But by the time they get to middle school, by the time they get to high school, I'll put them in a real school. Why? Why do people think like that? Because the yaqeen is not there. That confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. When you tell people, we're going to build a community. Well, brother, nobody has done that before. many people have tried, they failed. This is not going to happen. Come on, let's be realistic. We're living in the 21st century. Why do people say that? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built a community. He asked us to do the same thing. All the prophets in the past, they built communities. It can happen. But we have to have the yaqeen. So what about that ayah that I'm talking about? You know, if you get a chance this afternoon, read Surah Qasas, Surah 28 in the Quran. You know, the surah, it begins talking about the plight of the Muslims at the time of the Pharaoh. The plight of the Muslims at the time of the Pharaoh. Of course, it's very parallel to our times. Very, very parallel. Because the Muslims exist and certainly the Pharaohs exist. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while describing the plight of the Muslims at the time of the Pharaoh, yesterday or today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Look, listen, believers. We want to bless you. We want to grace your lives with a lot of blessings, a lot of good things, a lot of favors. We want to give those people who are oppressed in the land a lot of blessings. نُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We want to give you things. We want to bless you with many different things on this earth. Those people who are oppressed. It doesn't end there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. And we want to make them leaders. وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And we want to give you possession of the lands. We want you to inherit the lands. So, brothers and sisters, when you think about this, you say to yourself, SubhanAllah, this is a guarantee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a guarantee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how in the world can I let shaitan influence me and say, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not going to be successful. We'll never make it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, those people who are oppressed, those people who don't have much, they don't have the resources, I'm going to help. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you all you need. But have the yaqeen. Have the yaqeen. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put this yaqeen in the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was passing away, just before he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he appointed an army to go to fight the Romans. In those days, it was unheard of that somebody like a Muslim army, hardly 3,000, would challenge a Roman army of more than 200,000. That was the superpower in those days. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Usama to lead this army. Then, as Allah decreed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away. 3 days after his death, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted to send the army. All the Sahaba around Abu Bakr, even Umar radiallahu anhu, they tried to convince Abu Bakr that this is not the right move. And they were telling him, you know, tactically, that look, all these Arab tribes who are all around us, they're going out of Islam. They're becoming murtaddeen. They're apostatizing. And they have plans to come and attack us. And if we leave to go, first of all, the Romans are a formidable enemy. There's a huge enemy of theirs. There's a huge army of theirs. And we dare not go against them, especially in this situation when most of the Muslims are still grieving. They're still sad about the departure of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're all crying. Abu Bakr said, no, we're going. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Abu Bakr to talk to him and try to convince him that this is, at this time, hardly 3 days after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is, you know, this is something, let's think about it. And Abu Bakr, in his yaqeen style, he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, he kind of chided him, reprimanded him, and said that, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do this, and you're telling me not to? You're telling me not to? You see, Abu Bakr and the Sahaba themselves, they knew the ayat of the Qur'an. Abu Bakr had that yaqeen. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Allah and the Messenger and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps you'll be shown mercy too. Oh, but we only have a few troops. The Romans have a lot more. And if we leave now, they will come and take over Medina. The Arab tribes are all around. They're going to come and take over Medina. Many of the Sahaba were saying this. Abu Bakr said, no, sorry, we're going. We're going just like the Prophet ﷺ ordered. And he emphasized to the Sahaba, there's anything the Prophet would do, anything that he ordered, I will not deviate from it even a little bit. I'm going to do it exactly as he had asked us to do. When they saw the determination of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they said, okay. And they got ready to depart. Before they departed, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to them and gave some words of advice to the army. As he was coming, he was walking. Usama was on a camel. Usama, who was much younger than Abu Bakr, who was about 60 now, in his 60s, and Usama is hardly 17, 18. Usama gets off, out of respect for Abu Bakr, he gets off the camel and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of the believers, you have to ride this camel. Abu Bakr says, no, get back on the camel. Get back on the camel. He says, no, you must ride this camel, and I'll walk. Abu Bakr says, no. Get back on the camel, because I also want my feet to get dirty in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was already one of the 10 who was promised paradise. But he wants to get some of the credit for participating in this battle by getting at least some dust on his feet in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr wanted some credit. And so Abu Bakr now starts his advice to the troops. He says to them, لا تخونوا. Don't be treacherous. Don't cheat. Meaning that if you negotiate, if there's some negotiations, if there's a ceasefire, if there's a truce, if there's some peace, don't violate that. Whatever you've promised, don't cheat. Even if they're non-Muslims, do not cheat. Do not be treacherous in any way. وَلَا تَخُونَ وَلَا تَغُلُّ. And when the booty of war comes, when the war, if the Muslims win and all the booty that comes, all those riches and so on, they come, don't steal from that. Don't take for yourself. It'll be distributed evenly, but don't take for yourselves. وَلَا تَغُلُّ وَلَا تَغْدُرُ وَلَا تَغْدُرُ. That, and don't be deceptive in any way. Don't deceive. Don't deceive. Now these are the rules of engagement when the Muslims go to battle. And then he said, وَلَا تُمَثِّلُ. And don't mutilate. Don't mutilate any of the dead bodies. Don't torture. Don't do any of that stuff. وَلَا تُمَثِّلُ. And then he said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا طِفْلًا صَغِيرًا وَلَا شَيْخًا وَلَا امْرَأَةً. And don't you kill any children, and don't kill any old people, nor any women. Don't kill any of them. In other words, the directive was that you only kill those people who are combatant. You only fight against those people who are combatant, not the non-combatants like children and like women and like old people. In other words, you can't do like what some of the Muslims do today by stripping some bombs on their belts and committing these suicide bombs, these suicide missions. This is something that is not allowed. So, a Muslim to go and then kill innocent people, Muslim or non-Muslim, something that Abu Bakr is saying is not allowed by the Islamic rules of engagement. And he goes on, he says, وَلَا تَعْقِرُوا نَخْلًا. And do not destroy any of the dates. Like the plants that are there, don't destroy them. وَلَا تُحَرِّقُوا. Don't burn them in any way. وَلَا تَقْطَعُوا شَجَرَةً مُثْمِرَةً. And do not destroy any fruit-bearing trees. Don't cut down any fruit-bearing trees. وَلَا تَذْبَحُوا شَاتًا وَلَا بَقَرًا وَلَا بَعِيرًا إِلَّا لِمَأْكَلِهِ. And don't slaughter any sheep or cattle, like cows and so on, and camels, except for food. And then he said, سَوْفَ تَمُرُّونَ بِأَقْوَامٍ. You will come, you will pass by a people. فَرَّغُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي صَوَامِعٍ. You will come across some people who have devoted themselves, have isolated themselves in monasteries. فَدَعُوهُمْ وَمَا فَرَّغُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ لَهُ. So leave them alone. And what they're in their devotion, the devotion in their worship, leave them alone. And then he said, وَسَوْفَ تَقْدِمُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. And you will come upon a people. يَأْتُونَكُمْ بِآنِيَةٍ فِيهَا أَلْوَانُ الطَّعَامِ. You'll come across a people who will bring these food containers with food, many different types of food. فَإِذَا أَكَلْتُم مِّنْهُ. And if you eat from that food, فَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Make sure you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the rules of engagement. Brothers and sisters, you know, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said all these things. And you could imagine, he could probably say that, look, we're very few, the Romans are a lot more, you know, we're allowed to violate these rules. Go ahead and cheat, go ahead and be deceptive, go ahead and kill anything in sight, go ahead and kill the women and the children and the old people, because that will reduce the morale of the enemy. He could have said all those things, just looking at the material means, but he didn't. He didn't. He could have gone ahead and said, kill all these religious people, because they're the ones who are going against us. No, because Islam respects the religious worship place, the worshipping places of other religions. So, he's told them not to destroy them in any way. You know, once during the time of Khalid ibn al-Walid, you know, he's perhaps the most famous Muslim general. He went into this area in Iraq, and he walked into this fire worshipping monastery where they used to worship the fire. And there were two people who were sitting worshipping the fire there. And he took out his sword and he was about to kill both of them. Then he remembered the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the words of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, these same words that I was just mentioning. And he remembered that we're not supposed to hurt anybody who's in those religious places. So he put his sword back in his sheath and he left. Brothers and sisters, would you believe that those two people who were there fire worshipping, one's name was Sirin, and the other's name was Nafir. The son of Sirin later on became one of the most famous scholars of Islam. His name was Ibn Sirin, who, you know, you see books by him as far as the interpretation of dreams. The son of Nafir, Uqbah, later on he became the general who took the Muslims from all the way from Egypt, all the way to Morocco. He's the one who stood on the banks of the Atlantic, on the African side. And he was talking to the ocean. And he said, "Oh, ocean, listen. If I knew that there was land on the other side of you, I would have gone there and made sure that everybody would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Brothers and sisters, today, you are on the other side of the Atlantic. You are in that land that Uqba ibn Nafi' was talking about. This happened, why? Because the Muslim general, Khalid ibn al-Walid, followed the orders of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. They had the yaqeen in the Islamic system. They had the yaqeen in the directives of Allah and the guidelines of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though they didn't have the material means, they had Allah on their side, and that was enough. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم واسترشده يرشدكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, in any of our Islamic projects today, whatever they may be, even if it means that you form a team for a certain competition and you represent Darussalam, you represent the community of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to go forward with yaqeen, to go forward with the confidence in Allah that yes, Allah will grant us success if we follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant us success if we follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have that yaqeen. Brothers and sisters, you know, at the time of the Pharaoh, he was killing all the boys, all the men. And Musa alayhi salam was just born. And his mom was afraid that Musa alayhi salam is also going to be killed. So she made dua to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. We inspired the mother of Musa to nourish him, to feed him. And then we said, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. If you're afraid for him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Then throw him in the river. Throw him in the river Nile. Imagine. Allah is saying, if you're afraid of him, throw him in the Nile. Throw him in the Nile. Of course, put him in a box and put the box in the Nile. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't be afraid. And don't be sad. Don't think you're going to lose him. You're not going to lose him. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ. We will bring him back to you. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And we will make him from among the messengers, those who call to Islam, those who bring the message. We'll make him from among those. Now imagine, if a person did not have yaqeen, Umm Musa, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she's a lady, she had yaqeen. She had that confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her with this, she didn't sit around and say, oh, but wait a minute, what are you saying? It's not logical. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't appeal to my scientific mind. She didn't say anything like that. This is not reasonable. You tell me to put him in the river? And did you notice the current in the river? What are you saying? I might as well just let the Pharaoh kill him. He's going to die in the river just as well. There's no arguments. No arguments. Why? Because you see, the yaqeen was there. The yaqeen was there. So she put him in the Nile. In a box, she put him in the Nile. And you know the rest of the story. That he came and he lived in the palace of the Pharaoh and so on. But the point is that Umm Musa, the mother of Musa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Musa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was placed there. And she had the confidence in Allah. She had the yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she put him there. She threw him in the river. Because she had confidence that Allah will not let him get hurt. Today, brothers and sisters, we're not saying that you should throw your children in the ocean or in the river. We're simply saying, put them in an Islamic school. Some people may think, oh, that's worse than an ocean. We're not saying, throw yourselves in the ocean. We're simply saying, come and be part of a Muslim community. Have the yaqeen. You see, Abu Bakr had the yaqeen to move forward, despite the odds against him. And as a matter of fact, after the Muslim army of Usama, when they came back, all the Sahaba, what happened was, when they went, the Romans didn't even put up a fight. Heracles, he had come, and he let the Muslims go all the way up into the empire, and the Muslims took whatever they wanted to take without a fight, and they came back. When they all came back, all the Sahaba, they gathered around Abu Bakr, and they told him, we will never argue with you again. Abu Bakr had the yaqeen that if we follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, nothing can stop the onward march of Islam. Certainly nothing material can stop the onward march of Islam. Similarly today, brothers and sisters, there's no reason for us to be down. Allah, this is Allah's way. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu an, when they were in the cave and Abu Bakr was afraid, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him yaqeen. And Abu Bakr was saying that if they were just to look down, they would spot us. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what do you say that if there are two people but Allah is the third? In other words, Allah is watching. Don't worry. Don't worry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah brought His sakina upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brought the peace of heart, peace that he had. Today, brothers and sisters, if we have that yaqeen, we won't ask twice when it comes to establishing this deen. We won't think twice when it comes to sacrificing for this deen. We won't think twice when it comes to working in an Islamic environment if we had the yaqeen. If we had the yaqeen. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ